You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 21st of December 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Oh, it's the shortest day today. It's the winter solstice, only a couple of days to go now until Christmas, and we still have lots of news to be getting into here at the Daily Nationalist. Today we're going to be looking at changes to language, and it seems that in our desperation to try and find some racism somewhere, it must exist somewhere, we're now basically coming out with these things that used to be called microaggressions, which is basically just normal everyday language that can be twisted to make it seem as if it was thought up in the first place in order to discriminate against people. And we have universities that are changing words, demanding that people use different language, non-gendered language, for instance, which basically prevents people from being definite about what they're actually talking about. And we particularly have this today happening at Stanford University in America. And they have published an index of harmful language that they want to eliminate, because the terms are ableist, ageist, or racist, including the word American, as it calls for US citizen to be used instead. So basically saying there is a difference between the disabled and the abled, that now means you're being ableist. Showing respect for the elderly, that now means you're being ageist. And referring to people as being of a different race, that now means to be racist. It's been completely divorced from this idea of hatred for the colour of the skin, and it's now just anything that talks about a difference, or anything that has a definition that implies a difference between different ethnicities. It's quite strange, really. I mean, the in British law, you're not allowed to have an organisation that is based upon race, that excludes others, but you're allowed to have an organisation that is named as if it's just to do with race, but if it just specifies ethnicities, then you're okay. So, for instance, you could have, the Black Lawyers Association, and so long as the Black Lawyers Association was specified to be people of African or Caribbean ethnicity, then that would be okay. I mean, it's quite bizarre. It's like we just try to pretend that race doesn't exist, but we're still admitting that ethnicity exists. Apart from, of course, if you're white, then you just don't exist at all, and anybody can call themselves by your ethnicity. For instance, you could have somebody of African heritage calling themselves British, claiming to be of British ethnicity, and getting all upset if somebody says, well, quite clearly, you're not of British ethnicity because your ancestry is African, which basically means that white people, we've had our ethnicity taken away from us. But who has taken it away? Well, we've taken it away ourselves, haven't we? We've actually just given it away to these other ethnic groups. So they're basically saying that implying that there is any difference between anyone at all is somehow wrong with these terms ableist, ageist, or racist. And the university revealed the plan in May, but they're just really talking about it now, and wants to remove the words from its IT systems and websites with grandfather, brave, and master also on the list. Grandfather is a term of respect, isn't it? Brave is also a term of respect, and master is a term of respect. So they're basically saying we're not allowed to have respect for anything anymore, which is pretty much what we see going on here. It's completely disrespectful to our ancestors to be changing all these words and claiming that they were being discriminatory when they first developed them. The Elimination of Harmful Language Initiative will also aim to educate people about the impact that racist, violent, and biased words have. And they always used to say, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. And now, apparently, words themselves are the equivalent of violence. In actual fact, we're told that silence is violence. If we're not speaking up and being good little anti-white, anti-racists, then we are being racist by our silence itself. And of course, racism is the equivalent of violence. So if you don't support all of this, it's the equivalent of murdering black people, isn't it? I mean, this is literally the logic that they come up with. These anti-racists, they say that words themselves have the equivalent of violence, and they're backed up in this by law. When we create laws that punish people as if they've actually carried out a violent act because of a word that they used, because they used a racial slur, you're effectively saying that language itself, racial slurs, for instance, are the equivalent of loss or harm being done to a person. And if somebody is carrying out a crime which is causing loss or harm to another person, then you're quite within your rights to try to arrest that person, aren't you? You're quite within your rights to physically restrain them. So when you say that language itself has this same effect as causing loss or harm on a person, it means that if anybody was, for instance, to use a racial slur, then other people would be quite within their rights to start beating them up and trying to hold them down on the ground, wouldn't they? I mean, this is the crazy situation that we've got into by equating language itself with violence. The Elimination of Harmful Language Initiative has listed 10 sections where harmful language can occur. So, I mean, they're literally saying it here, that the language itself is harmful, physically harmful to people. It has 10 sections where this harmful language can occur under the headings ableist, ageism, colonialism, culturally appropriative, gender-based, imprecise language, institutionalized racism, person-first, violent, and additional considerations. Interesting. Gender-based. I mean, they're literally trying to eliminate any terms which imply that there is a difference between male and female. I mean, the whole of life on Earth is split between male and female, and the two male and female get together, and that reproduces the kind. I mean, it's basically the origination of all life that they are trying to imply no longer exists. Apparently we're above that now. We don't need to recognize the fact that you need a male and a female to create new life. Of course, these people that claim to be transgender, you're never going to be able to tell whether they were transgender from a forensic study of their bones, are you? It doesn't matter what they chose to identify as. If once they're dead, their bones are going to tell you that what their biological sex is, what they were assigned at birth, as they try to claim today, as if the actual difference between XY chromosomes and XX chromosomes is just something that doctors dreamt up. Of course, they will say, well, it was white people that dreamt this up, so therefore it's racist as well as being transphobic. And when they try to decolonialize science, that is literally the sort of thing that they will say. They will say that this is all white science. It was all dreamt up by white people, and therefore we need to remove it. It's like when they say with mathematics, we need to include indigenous systems of mathematics, and a lot of these indigenous aborigine systems of mathematics, I mean, some of them don't even have numbers that go further than three. You know, what is the point in according them the same amount of legitimacy as numerical systems that go up to 10 and multiples of 10? I mean, some tribes just have one, two, three, or many, and that's it. And all of these systems don't all have equal worth. They don't all have equal value. One of these systems is the one that we've managed to build the modern world upon. Of course, I would argue that these people that are pushing this, that they're trying to tear apart the modern world. They are the forces of chaos acting against our forces of order. The list also asks people to stop using the term American, as there are 42 countries in the Americas, and it implies that the US is the most important country in the Americas. Well, is it not the most influential American country? And of course, this is it, isn't it? I mean, Americans are called Americans because America is a country. South America is a group of countries. South America is a region. And you can also always say that you're South American, although that's pretty imprecise, isn't it? Because you have lots of different countries in South America. But everybody's always understood that the word American means North American. And then you have African American, which means somebody who is black, who is also an American. And then you have this term South American. So why is it wrong to refer to people as being American? I would suggest that because originally to be American, it implied that you were white. In the culturally appropriate category, it says names should be used instead of chief or Pocahontas. I mean, what if your name actually is Pocahontas? Should you not be referring to this Indian queen by her actual name as Pocahontas? And of course, chief, again, is a term of respect. You know, the chief is the person that's in charge. That's the one that you want to go and see. And I mean, it's really a term of respect, isn't it? If this goes back to Red Indians and Red Indian chiefs being the leaders of the tribe, then when you're referring to somebody as chief, then you're showing respect for this Indian system, aren't you, really? Otherwise, you wouldn't be using the word. If you didn't have any respect for them, you don't call somebody chief because you're trying to slight them or insult them in any way. I mean, it is really showing respect for Red Indians. The same as, naming tanks and missiles and weaponry after Red Indian tribes, which is something that America does. Again, that shows respect for the bravery of these tribes. But of course, we're not allowed to use the word brave now either. Elsewhere, it also asks for the term abort to be changed to end or cancel instead of linking it to abortion. So what are they saying there? They don't want people to think about abortion. It is a little bit tasteless, murdering babies, which is what's going on there. So, but at the same time, they're always pushing for that, aren't they? And saying, well, it's a woman's choice. But they don't like people to think of what actually goes on in an abortion when you're talking about aborting a process. So, I mean, yes, you could say that the term itself has actually changed in its definition. Abortions weren't really carried out when the term abort was first used. I think it just meant to stop a process, basically. So that you could say is just the evolution of language, and it means it's more often used to refer to infanticide now, or feticide would probably be a more accurate term for it. The site also suggests replacing Karen with demanding or entitled white woman. And that's an interesting one, isn't it? So that sort of implies that people at universities are actually using this term Karen, which is a very demeaning term. I mean, it's anti-white term, isn't it? I mean, if you had a term for a black female that implied stereotypical images of a black female, you'd be accused of being racist, wouldn't you? But yet this term Karen, which does exactly the same for white women, gets used all the time. And again, you still have this stereotype of a white woman here, don't you? The demanding or entitled white woman. Imagine if you were to say the demanding or entitled black woman. You would be accused of racism, wouldn't you? And yet that is what we actually have. We in fact, it's not necessarily blacks. It's people claiming to be acting on behalf of blacks that will be demanding that we change our language, that these people are entitled to everything that white people are entitled to, never mind the fact that they may have only been living in these countries in Europe for the last 70 years. So, I mean, I would suggest that this stereotype of the demanding or entitled woman is probably more accurate with black women. Of course, there are white women that are demanding and entitled, probably the same amount, really, as there are black women. Yet it's only okay to say this about white women, about a white woman. Child prostitute needs to be changed to a child who has been trafficked. And, of course, child prostitute, I mean, the word prostitute implies that the person that is prostituting themselves is consenting to the prostitution. And, of course, a child cannot consent to sex. So how can you actually have a child prostitute? What you have there is an abused child. So I guess saying a child who has been trafficked, I would probably agree with that one, to be honest, because of what I just said there, because a prostitution implies that there is consent consent that has been given by the person that is prostituting themselves. Whereas if it's a child, it's quite clearly that the child cannot consent to sex, and the child is being used. The child is being abused by whoever it is that is prostituting them out. Whoever it is that is responsible for them. So that's probably quite a good one to change that term. But I don't know if that was their logic behind why they wanted to change it. Probably not, thinking about it, because they do like to imply that children can consent now. When they use the term to have sex with a child, for instance, that implies that a child can actually consent. Whereas if it's a child, then it's always rape, isn't it? Because the child is not mature enough to consent to these things. In its section on ableist language, the institution says we should swap the term addict for a person with a substance abuse disorder. And again, that is an interesting one. There is this difference between addiction and dependence, which most people don't understand. Even doctors don't really understand that anymore. You can have a physical dependence upon something without actually being addicted to it. But if that physical dependence is on something that is illegal, then it will look like addiction. So that might be another one that I would agree with, saying a person's with a substance abuse disorder. I mean, it's just more informative, isn't it? It just describes what's going on a little bit better than saying addict, because you also get chocolate addicts and sex addicts. And of course, there's a difference to that with somebody that is dependent on a drug in order to function. And because of the nature of the way that the drug is provided, because it's illegal, they cannot tell the actual amount that they're using, so it manifests as an addiction because they end up having to keep taking as much of it as they can. So I would say that's probably quite a good one, to change addict to person with a substance abuse disorder. Changing committed suicide to died by suicide. And that sort of implies that the person themselves was not responsible for killing themselves. Perhaps that is related to the legalization of euthanasia in some places. And of course, that's a very progressive idea now, to allow people to just kill themselves. Canada in particular is promoting that. And obviously, this is a progressive university that wants to be progressive, so died by suicide, they want to say, instead of committed suicide. It also says it will swap the term blind review for anonymous review. I mean, who's going to be offended by the term blind review? I mean, surely blind people are not going to be offended by that. I mean, it means to have a review something without knowing who it is that you're actually reviewing, which would be the same as if you were blind, wouldn't you? You wouldn't be able to tell who it was. I mean, it's just quite a logical term to use. Tone deaf should be swapped for unenlightened, and handicapped parking changed to accessible parking. That's a particularly American one, isn't it? Handicapped, that's an American term. We've always said disabled over here in Britain, I think. Tone deaf should be swapped for unenlightened. Well, you do actually get people who are tone deaf, who cannot actually sing in tune because their voices just don't work the same way as everybody else, and they can't actually hear the difference. You do actually get people who are tone deaf. I'm not sure I've actually heard it used instead of the term unenlightened before. It also states in its gender-based section that pronouns should be used instead of preferred pronouns, as the latter implies that gender identity is a choice. So it's not that these people want to have their pronouns changed, it's just that everybody else hasn't recognised it yet. They just haven't noticed the fact that they're really a woman instead of a man, or that they should be referred to as Z, for instance. This term Z has apparently now made its way into dictionaries, along with a lot of these other new genders that we supposedly have always had, but just never recognised them. It also warns against words ending in man or woman, such as freshman or congresswoman, as it is not inclusive. And I've always had a bit of a problem with this one, because the Bible says male and female created he them. God created man, male and female created he them, which implies that the term man is already inclusive of both males and females, depending on the context of use. So when you say freshman, and at universities you have male as well as female students, that implies that the term freshman also includes women. And I don't know of any women that get offended at terms like that. You used to have this term policeman, and that would include women. Fireman, again, that would include women. Postman. I can recall women postmen. They never called themselves post women. They always called themselves postmen, and they never never took any offence at that, because the term man is already inclusive. It's like they're just deliberately trying to misconstrue language so that they can find microaggressions within it. The section on institutionalized racism states that black mark and black sheep are not used because of negative connotations to the colour black. Well, black means the absence of light, doesn't it? And light is associated with enlightenment and knowledge, and black or darkness is associated with ignorance. Again, this goes back to the Bible, and let there be light, and the light was separated off from the darkness, and the darkness knew not the light. So it's saying that black or dark, the dark, has an inference there of ignorance, of negativity, and that's why it's used here. The term black mark and black sheep, they weren't used referring to black people, because it's only been in the last 100 years that we've actually referred to people as black people, probably only in the last 50 years, to be honest. And the terms like black mark and black sheep, they go back centuries, and it's because the term black is, as I say, it's dark. It has a link with ignorance and the absence of light. It doesn't actually have anything to do with race. So they're saying here there's negative connotations to the colour black. Well, it's just obvious, isn't it? If something's black, then you can't see. And that's the point of using it. Whether they like it or not, you know, black does mean that you can't see. If something's dark, there's no light there. You can't pretend that is not so. Just because we refer to black people as black today, we always used to refer to them as Negro, and the term Negro itself is based upon the Latin term for black, but it was different to the term black. And of course, now we say, well, that's a little bit out of favour. The term Negro can be interpreted as offensive by some people, so we can't use it. So instead, we'll use this term black, which is used for all sorts of other things, isn't it? So it means that we're not able to be absolutely definitive in what we are saying. It also suggests that legacy status should be used instead of grandfathered, due to roots in the grandfather clause adopted by southern states to deny voting rights to blacks. So that's an interesting one. You're not allowed to use grandfather. I mean, grandfather, again, it's a term of endearment. It's a term of respect, and yet because this clause was called the grandfather clause, you're therefore not allowed to use it. I mean, grandfathered in, I mean, it usually means that there were some rights which somebody had, or something that people were used to doing that they're still allowed to do because they were originally allowed to do that. That's the sort of thing that a grandfather clause means, or to be grandfathered in. We're not allowed to use that now because it has an association to the grandfather clause. language deemed to have violent connotations is also advised against, including pull the trigger and killing two birds with one stone. Are they going to stop using this term trigger warning then that has come about over the last few years? Like so many of these terms, they tell us that these are the politically correct ones to use, and yet within a few years we're told that, these terms are now offensive as well. I mean, black and minority ethnic is a case in example. We're now being told we should not be using the term BAME, and yet for the last 10 years, BAME has been the politically correct way to refer to non-whites. I think using the term non-whites is still not seen as offensive, and I think that is a good one to use, although it is rather general and doesn't specify particular ethnicities. This killing two birds with one stone, well, again, that goes back to when we were much closer to nature, doesn't it? When we had to find food to eat, and if we were able to kill two birds with one stone, then we had enough there for two meals. So it was basically meaning getting a lot for a lot more than you would expect for physical exertion. I mean, it basically goes down to what all life is about, isn't it? We all have to kill something in order to eat. So again, it's pretending that we are now above nature. Other suggestions include changing immigrant to a person who has immigrated. You don't immigrate, do you? You emigrate. So, I mean, that's really an offence against language there, to say somebody who has immigrated. And prisoner should be changed to a person who is or was incarcerated. Well, that seems like rather a lot of verbiage to be using there, when you could just use this one phrase, prisoner, and that's in order to not define someone by a singular characteristic. So if somebody is a prisoner who's actually in prison, you're not allowed to refer to them as a prisoner, because that's saying that they only have one particular characteristic. But on the other hand, you're supposed to look at race as being a particular characteristic that you're supposed to make all these exceptions for if somebody is black. Yet if somebody's a prisoner, you're not supposed to define them by their characteristic. I mean, it's the same as homosexuality, isn't it? Homosexuals who define themselves and take their identity from the sexual act that they engage in. That, I mean, they deliberately want to be defined just by that singular characteristic. But when it comes to prisoners, we're not supposed to define people by a singular characteristic. Some of the words are considered harmful, from grandfather to brave, we have here the original word used, walk-in. That needs to be swapped for drop-in or open office. Reason, ableist language that trivialises the experiences of people living with disabilities. How does it trivialise somebody in a wheelchair to say walk in? I mean, it just sounds like you're making a joke, doesn't it? If you say roll in, go on, roll into the office. It just sounds like you're making a joke about the fact that they're in a wheelchair. I don't think people in wheelchairs get offended by people talking about walking everywhere, because the majority of people are able to walk. Original term, grandfather, that needs to be swapped for legacy. As we said earlier, that's because this term has its roots in the grandfather clause, adopted by southern states to deny voting rights to blacks. I don't think it has its roots in the grandfather clause. It has its roots in the fact that grandfathers are elderly. And again, and legacy means something from the past, doesn't it? I don't see how that has anything to do with denying voting rights to blacks, to use the term grandfather. Next term here, guru. We need to swap that for expert, subject matter expert, primary leader, teacher, or guide. And again, guru is a term of respect, isn't it? If you're talking about a guru, then it means that they're an expert, an Indian expert at something, or a religious leader. But they say here, the reason why we need to change this is because in the Buddhist and Hindu traditions, the word is a sign of respect. Using it casually negates its original value. It doesn't, though. The only time you would use the word guru is as a sign of respect, to say that somebody was particularly good at something. Someone was a leader at something, particularly in this to do with the spiritual realms or to do with religion. You would say that they were a guru. So to not use the term, you know, it's really sort of not being very nice to Indians to not use this term, because we're using it in the way that it was intended to be used. Original term not to use, brave. That needs to be swapped for none. Just do not use it. This term perpetuates the stereotype of the noble, courageous savage, equating the indigenous male as being less than a man. I mean, that's incredible, that, isn't it? We're not allowed to use this one because it perpetuates the stereotype of being noble and courageous. I mean, what are we supposed to be thinking of then? We're supposed to be thinking of Indians as ignoble cowards. I mean, they certainly weren't ignoble cowards, were they? They were courageous. And they fought with great distinction. And that's why we name a lot of our military hardware after them. It's because we're showing respect for them. So you're now not allowed to use the word Indian brave, which basically, I mean, it says that they're courageous, doesn't it? They say here it equates the indigenous male as being less than a man. I don't think it does that at all. I think it's quite respectful. The original term we have to change now, man hours. That has to be changed for person hours, effort hours, or labour time. And the reason for that is because the term reinforces male-dominated language. Well, the whole of society is male-dominated, isn't it? You know, it was built by men because we have a third more body strength than women. If you look at science and if you look at all these disciplines that are involved in building civilization, you'll find that 99.9% of them were originated by men. It's only today that we pretend that there is no difference between men and women and that women can do everything that a man can. And of course, that's proved to not be so when we see men taking part in women's sports, don't we? Men taking part in women's sports and identify, I'm talking about biological males here, identifying as females, and then they thrash their female opponents in the sport. So that in itself shows that there is a difference between men and women. I don't see any women that would be offended at the term man hours. And again, because the term man, depending on the context, includes women. It's already the most inclusive word that we have in the English language. And yet they just want to get rid of it. They want to imply that it only means men, but it doesn't only mean men. I mean, when you're talking about man, you're talking about a being, aren't you? Man. It includes males and females. What are they saying? Are they saying that women are something completely different? I mean, the term itself, woman, it shows that difference, doesn't it? It means womb man. It's a man with a womb, a man with an extra part to the body. It differentiates them from males. So they're called womb man. Again, it's a term of respect that highlights the difference that is there between the men and the women. And what they're trying to do is just take away all difference. Original term that has got to be changed, white space. And we have to swap that for empty space. Reason for that, it assigns value connotations based on colour, with white equaling good, an act which is subconsciously racialized. Again, it's not. It's based on the fact that it's a white space. It's a white board. It's an empty space. And when we talk about these connotations of white with good, black being bad, that's because white is associated with light and being able to see, and black is associated with the lack of light and not being able to see. It's got nothing whatsoever to do with race. Nothing at all to do with race. And if we were still to be using the same terminology that we used for hundreds of years to describe these other races, then we wouldn't even have this connotation of black. We wouldn't even be equating the term black in our minds with black people. But we've said, oh no, you can't use these terms. They're offensive. We have to use the term black. And then they say, oh, well, the term black is offensive. You have to use the term people of colour. Oh, coloured people. Oh, now that's offensive. Now you have to use the term people of colour. That's offensive. Now you have to use the term black and minority ethnic. No, that's offensive. Now you have to refer to them by the specific ethnicity. They just change this all the time. It's in constant. It's to keep people disorientated. Original prostitute. Not allowed to say that anymore. You have to say person who engages in sex work. And the reason for that is using person-first language helps to not define people by just one of their characteristics. Well, they're effectively saying there that you're not allowed to refer to anybody's work that they do. I mean, that's what you're effectively doing there by referring to somebody as a prostitute. They're saying they engage in prostitution. It's the same as referring to someone as a fireman or as a policeman. I'm surprised that they're saying this because they're sort of differentiating sex work from anything else. And they try to promote this term sex work as if it's just the same as any other job now, don't they? I mean, they encourage female students to become prostitutes so that they can pay for their university courses. And what I mean by that is that some of these freshmen's things that they put on for them when they've just got to university and they can go and find all these unions they can join, there are very often representatives of escort agencies there or representatives of strippers there looking for women who want some help with their tuition fees. Trigger warning. Ah, we do have trigger warning here. And they're not saying that it's there. It needs to be removed because of violence. They're saying it needs to be changed for content note. And the phrase can cause stress about what's to follow. Additionally, one can never know what may or may not trigger a particular person. So we're now not just worried about what somebody might say. We're worried about the fact that warning them that somebody might say it can actually cause distress. Oh, these poor students, they must be so distressed at this violent language that is being used. We've got one here that really, I really take issue with this one. They're saying that you're not allowed to use the term master, and you have to swap that for primary or main. And the reason for that is they say that master connotes slavery. Does it? Does it? I mean, when I think of the term master, I think of master and disciples, master and apprentice. I mean, when you talk about somebody that is a master, you're talking about somebody who is an expert in their field, aren't you? Somebody who is an expert in their field who is followed by others. You're not talking about somebody that owns slaves when you're talking about a master, are you? They're really just trying to find these tenuous links to words so that they can claim that these words are racist or ableist or sexist, homophobic, and that we have to stop using them because of that. And what it basically means is you're constantly self-censoring. You're constantly worrying that you might say something that might offend people. And even to the extent where, you know, you have the police coming around to people's houses, knocking down the front door, taking all their devices because they said something online that somebody might find offensive. And in a lot of these cases, it's not even somebody has said to the police, I was offended at this. It's just that they think somebody might be offended. You know, at Radio Albion, we get accused of, you know, inciting hate and saying all these terrible things. Nobody's ever complained about Radio Albion to Radio Albion, apart from a couple of journalists. You know, nobody's actually written to Radio Albion and said, well, I was really offended at that, or I thought that was abusive and I thought you should take that down. Nobody has. Just the journalists. And yet I've been accused of inciting racial hatred. And again, it's because of these journalists. So it's not just that people are self-censoring. You've even got the law involved in this. And it just serves to keep people confused all the time. It means that people can't be definitive at what they're trying to identify. It means that people can't describe how they feel for fear of being accused of hate speech or for fear of being accused of being offensive. And to think that our universities are the ones that are pushing this, universities where people should really be pushing the envelope and really challenging their views with all the different views that are found in a democracy. And instead of doing that, they're trying to limit people's views. They're trying to limit the things that people can talk about, trying to limit the ways that people can describe things. And they're also trying to destroy all our literary inheritance by telling us that these words should never have been used and they were oppressive and discriminatory, and even changing the meaning of some words, like they've changed the meaning of the word bigot, so that whenever you read something that was 10 years old, 20 years old, 30 years old, and it's talking about bigotry, it means something completely different to what the term means today. It used to mean somebody that refused to listen to somebody else's point of view, which is, of course, what these universities are doing, what the Antifa are doing, what the left are doing. They're the ones that seek to silence alternative points of view or point of views that they don't agree with. So it's a great shame that these universities are doing this, and it is also quite humorous when you look at the words that they are using. So thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.